You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour one on this Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Morale is high, except for one part of the man cave, back where McLovin sits. You got a serious look on your face after the display that Ethan, our stats guy, put on yesterday. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm a little rattled by Ethan. First of all, he's not from Philadelphia. He's from Wilmington, Delaware, which is a suburb of Philadelphia.
Philadelphia proper?
Yeah, it's Eagles country. Yeah, no, it's definitely an issue here. Like, I'm looking at him. I'm going to send you some stats, some analytics.
Are you
here
officially from Philadelphia?
Oh, except from the suburbs of Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Well, I guess so. I don't know. That's an interesting question. Are you officially from Cincinnati?
Well, I have to say that because people don't know where Mason, Ohio is. So when I say that, it'll be Cincinnati proper. But I'm not in a feud with anybody. I'm not in a rivalry with anybody right now to prove anything.
Where does Ethan stand on all this? Like, I couldn't tell.
Ethan just does his job. He just sends stats in sometimes. Most of the time, I don't even have to say anything to him. Just say something on the air and he sends it to me.
Is there any point where there are going to be just too many stats that you're going to be overwhelmed with this? Or are you cool with it?
I would like to be drunk with stats. I would like to. Hasn't happened in how many years have we been doing this together?
A lot.
Yeah.
Well, now you have accurate stats, too.
True. You're right. I've been drunk with stats, just not accurate ones. All right. Welcome to the program. Already in progress, as you can tell. Glad to have you part of the program in whatever way you might be listening or watching. New T-shirts came in. The Cam Newton T-shirts came in. Seton's got his on. Paulie has his on. The Cam Chowda. Looks good. Those T-shirts are available up on the website, danpatrick.com. We have a poll question. We got a play of the day. We check in with the LSU head coach, Ed Orgeron. He'll join us a little bit later on. Chris Haynes, our favorite from Yahoo Sports, covering the NBA from the bubble, will join us as well. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Oh, Ethan's sending me some stats here, and I haven't even asked for them yet. I'll get to those coming up. There are certain sports arguments that just don't go away. For serious NFL fans, one of the bigger ones is, should you pay a running back? How much should you pay an elite running back? The Titans signed Derrick Henry yesterday, 4-year, $50 million deal. He was great last season, led the Titans to the AFC title game. But the argument goes, by the time you pay a running back, they're usually on the downside. This has always been my philosophy. If I'm going to draft somebody, they're 22 years of age, and I'm going to use a first-round pick, I'm using you up for 5 years. And then by the time you're turning 27, by the time you're turning 28, I'm already thinking about your replacement. And you're finding a lot of these rosters have dual threats. Remember what the Saints had with Alvin Kamara? You know, that you're able to have Mark Ingram in there, so you have this 1-2 punch, inside, outside. You know, that's how Derrick Henry started, where you have inside, outside. But, you know, you start to look around the league, look at the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns got Kareem Hunt, and they got Nick Chubb. That's pretty impressive. Look what the Colts did in the draft. They have Marlon Mack. They went out and got Jonathan Taylor, 2,000-yard rusher out of Wisconsin. This is the trend that you have. So how much do you spend? Christian McCaffrey, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott. Those are the top five guys, salary-wise. And Henry currently ranks fifth in yearly average salary for running backs. Guys ahead of him are McCaffrey, Bell, Johnson, and Zeke Elliott. Henry just turned 26. Titans are built to succeed with Derrick Henry as their star. Now, you might look at this and go, he was a starter at Alabama 1 year. And then he came into the NFL, and he didn't get a ton of carries. Now, he did get a ton of carries last year, a ton of carries. That style. Now, if you said he was a 3-year starter at Alabama and was carrying 250 times the first couple of years in the NFL, I would shy away from that. But can I get at least 3 more quality years out of him? And if you can, and you were that close to the Super Bowl, going to the AFC title game, you're banking on Mike Vrabel having another quality team, quality season this year. But Should you pay running backs as a close cousin of the system quarterback debate, the kind of discussion that raises interesting football questions but kind of makes you sound like a nerd? But Derrick Henry seems like he's happy, and Tennessee should be happy as well. It feels like one of those deals where you go, and we always look at deals and go, oh, he got less than. He didn't set a record for running backs. Oh, you know, that was a failed negotiation. And I looked at it differently. I think you got to look at a couple of things here. You got to look at COVID. Now, what is happening here with the NFL, the uncertainty with the NFL and the salary cap in 2021. It might go $20 to $30 million less. And you had a source tell this to Yahoo Sports. The salary cap may drop $20 to $30 million. I don't know if that's why Patrick Mahomes signed. We'll get to Dak Prescott in a moment. But if you start to look at the free agency class of 2021, so he's going to, if they tagged him and he didn't sign the long-term deal, now he's competing against Joe Mixon in Cincinnati, Alvin Kamara, Aaron Jones, Green Bay, Dalvin Cook, James Conner, Philip Lindsay in Denver. I think getting the guaranteed money, he likes it there. They feature him. And when you talk about guys who break big runs, it's the biggest running back in the NFL. Derrick Henry has more 50-yard runs than any other running back. I think it's a great deal for Derrick Henry. He's comfortable with it. He got guaranteed money. The uncertainty of the next season, and Tennessee has their guy that they can hand the ball to 25 times. I saw where Pro Football Focus had a stat. Actually, it's a list of the most elusive running backs in the NFL. Nick Chubb, I think Nick Chubb's, you know, on the short list of most underrated players in the game. But, you know, when he and Sony Michel were sharing time in college, now he's sharing time with Kareem Hunt. I think Nick Chubb is great. Not good. I think he's great. Josh Jacobs out of Alabama with the Raiders is ranked second. Derrick Henry is third on that list. Alvin Kamara is fourth. Dalvin Cook, fifth. Austin Eckler with the Chargers is sixth. Saquon Barkley, seventh. Chris Carson with the Seahawks is eight. This according to Pro Football Focus. Devin Singletary, who I love with the Bills. I don't know how good he is, but that dude never stops, ever. Aaron Jones with the Packers had an unbelievable season last year. James Conner featured back there. So Christian McCaffrey is 13th on this list. If I said you can get these running backs for the same price, if and maybe you take Christian McCaffrey out of it because he did have great numbers, although I don't know if those numbers really mean anything at the position. Like you want somebody who's going to be on the field and producing, but what are you really producing with the Carolina Panthers? I you know, McCaffrey's an anomaly in a variety of ways. But is he it, let's say you could get McCaffrey or Derrick Henry for the same price. You still going to take Christian McCaffrey? Probably so. I mean, maybe I take him out. What about if I say Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry? Who are you taking? I'm guessing people would probably look at Saquon Barkley because of his ability to catch balls out of the backfield. I don't know how many catches Derrick Henry had last year. I don't know if they're trying to make him a little bit more of a dual threat there, McLevin, if you could check that. Or maybe Ethan can.
18 receptions last year.
Okay.
By the way,
eat that, Ethan.
Wow.
I'm looking at his stats. Derrick Henry has way more carries in his career than McCaffrey already. Unless I have McCaffrey. Because McCaffrey has like those dual touches. He has a million touches, but they're split evenly between receiving and running.
Yeah, but look at the carries he had in college.
That's true. Yeah, good point.
Christian McCaffrey had a ton of carries.
But all these guys, everyone you just mentioned has so much wear and tear already. I don't want to pay any of them.
Well, that goes back to Zeke Elliott. Like, I didn't understand that at all. Unless Jerry thought, you know what? He's playing great, and then they overpaid him. He had his holdout, and I just don't know. I think you've seen the best of Zeke Elliott. And granted, you got to see a lot of greatness out of Zeke Elliott. I just don't know. It's now a quarterback league, and you've turned it over. It feels like, well, sort of, to Dak Prescott. There were late afternoon negotiations because the deadline was 4 Eastern yesterday. And Jane Slater, who was with us yesterday on loan from the NFL Network, covers the Cowboys, said They tried to get something done. I don't understand that. You don't talk for months and then you're going to hurry up right at the deadline. This should have been done. I had a great source who told me when Zeke was getting his deal done, Dak was going to get his deal done in late August, going into, I think, the first regular season game. Said, get ready. Dak's going to sign as well. And then all of a sudden, we stretched it out. The most talked about story in NFL history. And it continues. And it'll continue this entire season. Did the Cowboys make the right decision? Did they really want Dak Prescott? Dak's betting on himself again. Did Dak ask for more money than he deserved? You could have signed Dak Prescott for the same money, I'm told, as Russell Wilson. And what did Russ get? 4 for $140? Is it something like that? You could have gotten Dak Prescott for that. And now, what's he going to cost you? And, I mean, Jerry knows that, you know, I built this team. We can win now. I got to win now. I want one more Super Bowl. I want to prove that I can win a Super Bowl again. And you could have signed Dak Prescott and been done with this and got a bargain. And now here you go. And now you have an offense where you use your first-round pick on CeeDee Lamb. You're throwing the football this year. He's going to put up big numbers again. But you tag him again one more time, which is what I thought. That's what I would have done in the first place. If I'm not sure on Dak Prescott, then I would have tagged him. I'll tag him again next year. But I got the feeling the Cowboys weren't completely sold on Dak Prescott. They wanted to see another season. They saw the season. Dak bet on himself, and the Cowboys now have to pay the bill. Yeah, Paulie.
Any chance the Cowboys are being really smart here? They're basically renting Dak Prescott and giving it one more look-see. And also with the salary cap coming up, when it comes time to be in this position next year, the cap could be less, and they could be in a position where they can get him for less.
I think it's a distinct possibility, but I think if that happens, they accidentally fell into that because they weren't banking on a COVID-19 pandemic that's going to reduce the salary cap by $20 to $30 million. And you're going to have a guy who you bring in Mike McCarthy, and unless Mike McCarthy is not sold on Dak Prescott, like privately, I don't know. But I would think you're taking the job and first thing you ask is, who's my quarterback? That's what coaches do. Who's the quarterback? Does the owner love that quarter? Like Ron Rivera goes to Washington. Daniel Snyder is the one who said, we're drafting Dwayne Haskins. So you know you have that quarterback for a couple of years. You know, if you go into the Cleveland Browns situation, Kevin Stefanski. Okay, who's my quarterback? Well, the owner wanted Baker Mayfield. So you know he's there for a little while. This is what happens. Who's my quarterback? And can I succeed with him? But the Dak Prescott situation, I just think handled poorly by Jerry Jones. And Dak, do I think he overplayed his hand a little bit? Yeah, probably. Because I think he's an average quarterback from the standpoint of he can be great and he can be very, very suspect. And if you average it out, you're an 8-8 team that probably makes your quarterback average as well. And I can't have the highs and lows there. As much as I like Dak Prescott, would love if he was the quarterback for my team, I can't have the fluctuation of good Dak, bad Dak. And that would concern me long term. And maybe the Cowboys are doing another drive-by with it. Hey, let's just see how he does again. Bets on himself. We can always tag him again, just like Washington did with Kirk D. Cousins. But I think it's a missed opportunity for both sides. Maybe it's strategic with the Cowboys, and maybe it's strategic with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott needs the Cowboys too. The Cowboys certainly need Dak Prescott now, but Dak Prescott needs the Cowboys. It's an offense. You're the quarterback of America's team. You're going to get endorsement. You're going to get $10 million in endorsements probably each year by being the Cowboys starting quarterback. And you have to add that value into this because if he goes to another team, you never have this marketing ability. When you think of Cowboys quarterbacks, Danny White, we still remember. You got Romo for nothing. Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman can live off being a former Cowboy quarterback the rest of his life. Roger Staubach. Even Craig Morton. Don Meredith. We know who the Cowboy quarterbacks are. Babe Laufenberg. Yeah, Paul.
Tony Romo got a huge broadcasting job as his first job out without a Super Bowl ring. Mm. You know this industry. A Super Bowl ring kind of buys you an audition at ESPN or CBS, Fox, etc. But if you don't have one, like Rodney Harrison. Rodney Harrison is a very good player. Having a ring sure helps him get a look-see by NBC. And look at Tony Romo. Very good quarterback, but he's not Dan Marino.
Oh, if Rodney doesn't have Super Bowls, Rodney's not doing Football Night in America. Right. I mean, that helps open the door because now when you speak, you can speak from authority of, hey, played in a Super Bowl. Hey, won Super Bowls. Hey, I was part of this team, this dynasty, this franchise, that defense. But yeah, you're right. All right, well, come up with a poll question, right, McLovin? Or should I ask Ethan?
You should definitely ask Ethan.
Ethan. Right.
Yeah. Right. Because I have all these running back questions. You know, you kind of ruined my Alvin Kamara party because I thought he was going to be the next guy to get paid. That I looked up his numbers. They definitely went down last year.
Yeah, I said that to you that I thought when he was with Mark Ingram that they got a lot of attention because they had, you know, kind of this power back and then you had the elusive back. I don't know if he gets enough touches.
Well, he hurt his knee last year, which is another issue. Like why you need those two guys, because some guys, if you get more wear and tear, are just going to break down.
Ethan just sent me a number. Derrick Henry is the first player in NFL history. Actually, I should tease this because it is something special that Ethan came up with.
That good.
Yeah, it's stat good.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the new segment, Stat Good with Ethan.
Ethan is stat good. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. As I mentioned earlier, we'll check in with the NBA bubble, our friend Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports, and also Ed Orgeron, the LSU head coach. Coach O will join us coming up, final hour of the program. Phone calls are always welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle with DP Show. Say good morning to Chat Row and your proud moderator, Tyler, the moderator. Those watching on YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show and our great radio affiliates, including the formidable Fox Sports Radio lineup. 19 after the hour, just getting started on this Thursday here on The Dan Patrick Show. You want to do what I'm doing? You can go through the process of what I've helped launch at Full Sail University to help you get a bachelor's degree in sportscasting, an accelerated bachelor's degree, and it teaches you all the aspects of sportscasting. Why is it whenever I read the Full Sail University copy, I stumble?
Is that irony?
Maybe. Is it ironic?
Mm.
Is it a coincidence? Maybe I'm just not that good. What I love about Full Sail is there's so many things to love. They combine hands-on learning. So you're learning from people who are in the business, have been in the business for decades, whether it's our directors, producers. You're going to have people who have been reporters, producers. They are going to help you. Front of the camera, behind the camera, and students will be learning the business inside and out from people who've worked in the industry at a very high level. Learn how to be a sportscaster, Full Sail University, and earn your bachelor's degree in about half the time, as short as 20 months. Full Sail. You can earn your degree online or on campus in Orlando, Florida. Learn more about the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. Go to fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. As I started to mention before the commercial break, thanks to Ethan, our new stats guy, Derrick Henry is the first player in NFL history to rush for at least 400 yards as a rookie and then increase that number by at least 40% in each of the next three seasons. He had 490 as a rookie, 744 his second year, 1,059 in 2018, and last year he rushed for 1,540. This might be one of those deals that we always want a winner and a loser. Who won? Who lost? We're doing that with Dak Prescott. With Derrick Henry, I think both sides won. I think both sides got what they wanted. You got that running back you can count on. I think they would like to expand the number of touches so it's not just him powering ahead, you know, going into these defense. Because those running backs don't last. Eddie George was like that. Earl Campbell was like that. When you go straight, Brandon Jacobs played for the Giants. That's one of the biggest running backs. It might be the biggest running back I ever saw. We met him at a Super Bowl, and we all walked away going, and he's a running back. Brandon Jacobs was the same size as Michael Strahan, and that's no exaggeration. He might have been bigger than Michael Strahan. Inch shorter, but he was bigger. And then he ran a certain way, and then he got paid, and then he ran differently. Then all of a sudden you start protecting. You know, players will talk about you run to get the contract, and then you run differently after you've gotten the contract. I hope that doesn't happen with Derrick Henry because I love watching him play. I like when guys give the impression they want to tackle him, but they really don't because you go, oh, this is going to hurt. I remember defensive players doing that with Adrian Peterson. They didn't really want to tackle him, but you sort of had to, or at least try. And Derrick Henry, he puts the fear of God, I think, in some of those defensive players. And he's an elusive back, which you don't think of a power back being. And I'm happy for him. When we saw him at the Super Bowl, you know, wonderful kid. I really enjoyed talking to him. Good sense of humor. And I hope, you know, he gets that opportunity to continue doing what he's doing, or what he did the last 2 years with Tennessee. Yes, Paulie?
If you look at Derrick Henry's strategy, he basically got $25 million over the next 3 years. Guaranteed. He cannot not get it.
Yeah.
If you go back to Le'Veon Bell, he skipped a season, lost $16 million. He made it up by getting a two-year, basically a guaranteed contract of $27 million from the Jets. But that was the only team. The Jets kind of bailed him out. Otherwise, his strategy was not going to work.
We factor in the third year, the year that he sat out. So
over the course of 3 years, Le'Veon Bell will make $27 million, including the season he sat out,
yeah,
which is $2 million more than Derrick Henry's going to make. Derrick Henry didn't threaten to sit out. Melvin Gordon threatened to sit out and did, and he's going to make $13 million over that three-year period.
I remember when he sat out, I said, this isn't going to work out well with the Chargers.
He got paid okay.
Yeah, but he made a mistake with that. He did. And now he's with Denver, and they already have a running back, Philip Lindsay. So you're sharing time there. Jeff in St. Louis joins us. Hey, Jeff, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Hey, I get it. Jerry Jones is a billionaire, but you got you're not acting like one. Why didn't you take a step back and look what the Rams did with Todd Gurley? And the same thing is going to happen with Ezekiel Elliott. That's my opinion. You see how that totally messed up.
Oh, I know, but we're down the road on that. Thank you, Jeff. Because I'm on record as saying I wouldn't have re-signed Zeke Elliott. I just think you can find running backs, and you're really looking for a couple of running backs to do a couple of different things. Now, if you find someone like Christian McCaffrey, good luck with that, or Alvin Kamara. But I look at the Cleveland Browns. You know, they got Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. And you're hard-pressed to find a better backfield than those two guys. And the versatility. Kareem Hunt's great out of the backfield. And Nick Chubb is solid. He just is. You can play. I would have gone to Nick Chubb more because I didn't like what was going on with the offense with Baker Mayfield and trying to placate Odell Beckham Jr. I would have been a more run-first offense if I could. Take some of the pressure off Baker Mayfield. And Nick Chubb had that ability, but people forget that he split time with Sony Michel at Georgia. In fact, I think Sony Michel started and Nick Chubb came in. He started the national title game.
Yes, wasn't there a third and a fourth? And DeAndre Swift, there was one other guy.
Crowell, I think, had to transfer. They had so many running backs there. They had a guy named Crowell and the Browns. He had the transfer.
Oh, Todd Gurley. Gurley was also there. Was he?
Before. Just before.
Okay, so he was right. Yeah. I mean, what is going on in Georgia?
Well, Isaiah Crowell was with the Browns. But right. was he at Georgia? I don't remember him at Georgia.
It's not a bad lineage there.
Well, when you start to think of running backs, you know, what university produces, I'm talking about today, because you've had different running backs. Nebraska had those, you know, Mike Rozier and I.M. Hip, and they had quite a few guys that were great. Johnny Rogers. Oklahoma had great running backs. The U had great running backs. Ohio State has had quality running backs. But Georgia, it feels like that's tough competition when you go there. It's like, how many five-star running backs do you have? Yeah, McLeod.
Remember the couple teams, Clemson, when Taj Boyd, and they had like seven or eight NFL wide receivers, yeah. DeAndre Hopkins and Sammy Watkins, that is a lineage too.
Well, look at LSU as well. You know, you just start to get these players and you kind of pile them up and see if these guys want to stay. You might not be the featured guy. Go back to LSU with Odell Beckham. He wasn't the featured guy. Jarvis Landry got more of a featured look than Odell Beckham. He was more of a return guy and maybe the second or third wide receiver. Yeah, Paul.
There was a year when Auburn had Brandon Jacobs, Cadillac Williams, and Ronnie Brown. All three ran for over 1,000 yards in the NFL. And Ronnie Jacobs had to leave and go to SIU to get some playing time before getting drafted.
Steve in Florida. Hey, Steve, what do you have for me?
Hey, hello.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Dan. Always a pleasure. Hey, Dan, you know, every time I talk to you, I feel like George Costanza ordering soup, man. I'm so nervous, you know. But I'll as original OG, we got to lay off McLovin, man. I mean, he's a sweetheart. He comes up with those great polls like, you know, would you rather have a dog or a cat or something like that, you know. We love him down here in Florida. And the show, we love you, Dan.
What, Steve, does everybody in Florida love McLovin?
9 out of 10, yeah.
Oh, okay, all right. All right.
Wait, East Coast or West Coast?
Thank you, Steve. That's Steve said. I think it's just 9 out of 10 people total like you in Florida. Not 9 out of every 10, I think, is what Steve was saying there.
They hate Ethan in Florida. They are known for that. Ethan can't even walk the streets of Boca Raton.
Ethan just does his job. Doesn't now, ask for, you know, recognition.
Is Ethan sending you notes like one-on-one? Are you guys having a stats affair without us here? Is that what's going on? Because Ethan, we're not getting these notes anymore.
Yeah, well, Ethan sends them to me because he doesn't want to make you feel bad. Because if you see it, then there's competition. And Ethan just does his job. He's a pro's pro.
Are you sitting around at night like glowing, looking at your phone? Or is your wife like, who are you texting with?
Yeah, late night texting with Ethan, the stats guy.
Like the State Farm commercial?
Who are you talking to?
It's Ethan.
Yeah. Ethan, what are you wearing? Khakis.
Ethan also starts movies and then stops halfway through. Yeah. He watches them in parts day over day. Like, hey, Dan, just watched half of Big Lebowski. It was awesome.
Yeah. Then he puts on the Sacramento Kings game and you guys chop that up.
Yeah. Ethan also waited 10 years to watch Breaking Bad, has never watched The Sopranos.
Yeah.
And he loves Hamilton.
Hates Goodfellas.
The original cast.
He's seen it twice.
Yeah, yes.
Pretty much everybody loves Hamilton except for Seton.
For Seton and his family. All right, so what's the poll question we're going with? I'm told hot poll question today.
Yeah. So we have I'll let Paulie share it. He has the wording exactly right. He came up with it.
Okay.
You got a max contract to offer a position player to add to your team, and your team needs everything. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, the tight end, or Michael Thomas? Kittle and Thomas are 26, McCaffrey's 24. All considered the best or amongst the best at their position, and all young. McCaffrey, George Kittle, Michael Thomas.
And we're starting my team.
I
don't know who my quarterback is.
You have
a
great quarterback.
I have a great quarterback. Who's my quarterback? Is Dak Prescott?
You have Deshaun Watson.
You got to get Dak Prescott into the Paulie, this is my clicks.
How about make it Jimmy Garoppolo? He's right in the middle.
It's interesting.
Well, then I would take George Kittle because I have to take pressure off Jimmy Garoppolo. And Kittle's a great blocker and obviously a great, you know, him and Kelsey, probably the two best tight ends in football. I'd probably go Kittle because I think he can give you blocking and also he can beat you deep too. I mean, he's a great, great player. So I would probably say Kittle. Yes, McLovin.
Is Kittle like the number one guy now? Is it Kelsey, Kittle? I go Gronk.
I think
back.
Kittle got a lot more publicity last year because people got to see his personality, and then you go to the Super Bowl and you get that notoriety. You know, Kelce, of course, rode that wave too, getting a lot of publicity. But on that offense with San Francisco, we didn't talk about too many, you know, Raheem Mostert. We only talked about him in the Super Bowl. We talked a little bit more, well, a lot more about Garoppolo. But then Kittle emerged as the guy that they talk about with that offense there. McCaffrey.
He just turned 24.
Yeah, I know. I know.
How is that possible? How can he only be 24? He's been around for a decade.
Feels like that. I think the first time we talked to him, he was a sophomore in college. Michael Thomas. I remember Michael Thomas when he was at Ohio State. And I thought, like, you know, I look at the Ohio State wide receivers and I always think, boy, he'll be great next level. But they're interchangeable. Although Thomas is not a speed guy. He's maybe Larry Fitzgerald, Chris Carter type, where he's gonna, if you throw it, he's going to catch it, obviously. But, you know, I just didn't see that coming. Where you go, that guy's going to have 150 catches one season. You're going to go, I don't know. Is he going to be able to get open? But Thomas is great. I think wide receivers, there's a few wide receivers. There's only a couple of tight ends. Kittle and Kelce, and maybe I'm missing somebody here. McCaffrey, to be able to run for 1,000 and receive for at least 1,000, that's really, really, really rare. Now, can you continue to do it? And it's going to be for a team that's going to be average, whereas Kittle has been playing for a playoff team, and so is Michael Thomas. But that's an interesting poll question. Lawrence in New York joining us. Hey, Lawrence, what do you have for me today?
Hi, first-time caller. Love the show.
Thank you.
So, you guys were talking running backs.
Yeah.
I forgive you guys. Everybody always slips or sleeps on Pitt. I mean, they've been an NFL factory of Hall of Famers probably for the last 35, 40 years. But I would definitely make the case for them being running back you. Dorsett, Curtis Martin, Craig Hayward, Shady McCoy, Deion Lewis. I mean, a few of those guys are going to the Hall of Fame, so just wanted
all
to.
All right, that's good. That. Thank you, Lawrence. We don't know it all. We don't even act like we know it all.
Put Pitt football running backs on the roster today. I'm in.
Since 2015, schools with what's just most running backs drafted since 2015. You guys, want to guess? Alabama, 7. Miami, 5. Georgia, 5. LSU, 4. Oklahoma, 4. Florida, 4. Since 2015, Georgia running backs, DeAndre Swift, Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, Keith Marshall, and Todd Gurley. It's a good group, but, you know, previous caller talking about Pitt, you know, Tony Dorsett, Hall of Famer. Curtis Martin is what, second or third on the all-time list? He's a Hall of Famer. Craig Ironhead Hayward was a really good running back. James Conner, Pitt. Yeah. Yeah, the positions change, though, and what Hall of Fame numbers are going to be. And I don't envy these Hall of Fame voters. In 10 years from now, how you assess a Hall of Fame running back. You know, Adrian Peterson is kind of the dinosaur. I don't know if we're going to have somebody who played that way and the number of, you know, yards that they put up, that he might be the last guy because everybody else, it feels like they're going to be, we're going to be saying, how many receptions did you have? Yeah, McLevin.
I mean, Elliott and McCaffrey seem like they're on that trajectory, don't they? I mean,
I would never do trajectory with running backs.
Yeah.
That's dangerous. All of a sudden, these guys just fall off the cliff.
Right. Le'Veon Bell was on that trajectory.
Oh, yeah. He was reinventing the position with that kind of slide, and then he would just dart. He'd find the hole. He'd slide and dart. And when's the last time you brought up Le'Veon Bell's name as one of the great running backs? Yeah, Paul.
Now people are sending in college running back tandems. Reggie Bush and Lendell White at USC. Lendell didn't have a great pro career, but he was very tough in college.
Well, he went to Tennessee. He played for the Titans, but he was a power back. I mean, that was a, but that was a pro team. The USC's team was great because Leinart didn't turn out to be a good pro. And Lendale White, he might have had one or two decent years there. I thought Reggie Bush had a good NFL career. Not as good based off what he did at USC. But I still think, did he rush for 1,000 yards?
I think maybe twice.
Or twice, something like that. But you're taking that high, and he wasn't a between-the-tackles guy. And, you know, we just saw him at USC where everybody looked elusive. Everybody looked great. Everybody looked like a first-team All-American. Yeah, Paul.
I always thought that Reggie Bush was used incorrectly. I think they looked at him
in
as
the
like,
pros?
Yes, in the yeah. pros. They bought into that he can't run between the tackles thing because he's too small when he could. And they're not doing that with Christian McCaffrey. They are giving the ball enough times inside the tackle, saying, let's just see what happens. And Reggie Bush, his first few years in the league, he would average about 140 carries, and that's not enough.
But they...
He caught the ball a ton.
Yeah, I know. And that... I understood how they were using him that way, but I don't know if it was a fair criticism they couldn't run between the tackles. But if you had Lendale White, then you didn't use Reggie Bush to run between the tackles or have to. Yeah, McLevin.
They had another running back. I'm blanking on his name.
He was mixed in with that Deuce McAllister
yeah.
era, early Pierre Thomas era, which I know you loved.
I did love Pierre Thomas.
Yes.
My fantasy team. I had Deuce McAllister and Pierre Thomas on my fantasy teams. Deuce McAllister was one of my favorites with the Saints.
Great running back yep. names.
Yes. For 50, Alex. Yep. And the answer is Deuce McAllister. Yes.
I know it's not a poll, but do you want the power between the tackles guy or do you want the Austin Eckler can do everything guy? He's the hot Pro Football Focus guy now.
Well, like, can I have both?
Yeah. I think you've convinced everyone that you need two guys now.
But it just seems like that way I always have a fresh running back in there.
Kind of like me and Ethan. Like you need two of us.
Nah.
Yeah. Ethan's a Derrick Henry. I'm more of a, I don't know.
An Austin Eckler?
Austin. I'm more like a, I'm trying to make Austin Eckler might be shooting too high.
Yeah, Austin Eckler is, well, they let Melvin Gordon go.
You're more of a Peyton Hillis type, McLevin.
Ooh, remember Peyton Hillis? He had like two seasons. Wasn't he Arkansas running back? Wasn't he on the cover of Madden?
Yeah, how many people said no before they got to Peyton Hillis?
I don't know.
I think I got one. Jordan Howard. I'm the Jordan Howard. Remember the Bears running back?
Oh,
sort of.
Yeah.
Like in the right spot, I can do okay. Not super fast.
All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. And we'll check in with the NBA bubble. Chris Haynes, our favorite from Yahoo Sports. He'll join us. And LSU head coach, Coach O, will join us in the final hour. But play of the day's up next and phone calls after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. At the Bristol Motor Speedway. Now, it typically holds 130,000, 140,000. Only 30,000 tickets were offered to allow social distancing. You had 20,000 fans on hand, and if you start to look at the spacing, you had to wear your mask when you went in, but you could take your mask when you got into the speedway. But let's say you want to have 25, 30, 40,000 at a football stadium that holds 100,000. Are you able to pull that off? So just something to keep an eye on. But that was Bristol Motor Speedway last night in front of the estimated 20,000 fans. Play of the day brought to you by LegalZoom. We're facing new challenges these days. And if you need legal help, count on LegalZoom. You can start online. They have a network of independent attorneys. They provide advice when you need it. And since LegalZoom isn't a law firm, you don't have to leave your home. Don't get billed by the hour. LegalZoom.com for more information today. Couple of phone calls in here. Phil in Indiana. Hey, Phil, what do you have for me today?
Hey, good morning, Dan. Always great to be with you. I'm missing something on the Dak Prescott discussion. I don't even think he's one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. He wants to be paid like he's in the top three. I don't know why people should be surprised that the Cowboys are skeptical. In one of the biggest games of his season last year, Dan, against the Eagles, he had one of the most awful performances against a very mediocre Philadelphia team where they could have clinched the division. I'm just missing something on this, Dan.
Well, here's the thing, Phil, and thanks for the phone call. And I've been saying this. each quarterback who's up next doesn't have to make more than the guy who preceded him. But that's the flow. That's the trend. You need to have a mid-level where you just say, this is how good we think you are. Now, the agent doesn't want to be that guy, or he won't be your agent any longer. Dak Prescott, you know, he's not going to be the highest paid quarterback because that's Patrick Mahomes. But did he overplay his hand? I thought, for a couple of reasons. You didn't win your division. You were really good and really bad at times. Your team was 8-8. And I don't care if you threw for almost 5,000 yards, because the top five quarterbacks in passing yards last year did not make the playoffs. I need to know what... You can't lose to Buffalo at home. You can't. And it's not all on him. But look, quarterback, we ride with you when you're doing well. You get credit when you win, more credit when you win a big game in a Super Bowl, and you're going to get blame. That goes along with the territory. But if you're going to say, hey, you're going to make this amount of money, and it's going to be commensurate with some of these other quarterbacks. Is Dak better than Carson Wentz? And the answer is no. Is he better than Jared Goff? Close. Probably. He's not better than Russell Wilson. Why is he getting paid more than Russell Wilson? Well, he's the next guy up. It's such a flaw. I mean, I give the agents credit. It's like, yeah, the next guy up, like Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's going to want $40 million a year. Is he worth it? I would say no. But if that's the going price, I mean, look back on some of these contracts. And you go, at the time, we were like, can you believe they're paying this guy that amount of money? It was the going rate. And now you look back and you go, wow, I got kind of a bargain there. If Jerry Jones really wanted Dak Prescott as his quarterback, he should have signed him last year before the start of the season. When I was told that he was going, maybe I sound angry because I was told he was going to sign him and he didn't.
You're standing by that report.
And that's why I'm mad. Oh, no, I believe that they were going to sign him. And for whatever reason, they decided not to. And if they could have signed him for Russell Wilson money. And then you get a bargain there. You're not getting a bargain now. And maybe you tag him one more year. All right. I assume they're all in on Dak Prescott. They just want him at a certain number. We'll head to the NBA bubble coming up next here. Seton Pauly, Fritzy McLovin, and Ethan on Dan Patrick Show.